The gospel tonight finishes with Jesus being amazed, and not in a great way. And I was thinking, there's only one other time, at least that I can think of, in the gospels where Jesus is amazed. And the other time is in the right sense. It's the centurion, right? Lord, I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul or my servant shall be healed, right? We use that same prayer at Mass, modifying it. It's not a prayer about the servant, it's a prayer about our soul, right? And so that's a really interesting thing. And Jesus is amazed at his faith. He's like, I've never seen faith like this anywhere in Israel. So we have the good example of amazing the Lord. And then in the gospel today, we have this kind of sad example. It must have taken a lot of hardness of heart to amaze the second person of the Trinity, right? And so I've been reflecting on that today. Why is it that the people that should have known Jesus the best take offense at him? You know, he lived 10/11 of his life in a tiny town, 200 people. 10/11, 30 out of 33 years. It's like 2%, 93% of his life is lived in anonymity. And they should have known him. And maybe that's the problem. Because there's that phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. And I wonder if that applies to some of us. Those of us who have been raised in a faith, maybe. Those of us who have been doing this for a long time. You're all here on Wednesday night, which is a great thing, by the way. Right? But you're clearly like in. And maybe you've been in for a long time. Maybe your parents raised you this way and you're just like, yeah, Jesus, great, he's cool. Right? And we can't ever take him for granted. It's really easy to do so. See, they see Jesus all of a sudden now. This is someone they knew, right? They know his cousins. That's the mention of his relatives in the gospel today. They kind of know him, and that's good, and it's dangerous. Because we can say, well, I know Jesus, and that's good, but it can also be dangerous. Why dangerous? Because then we put up our nice little constructs. Put God in the box, right? Classic phrase. He can only do this. That's who he is, right? And I know him, and I'm just going to live my life. And it's really easy to compartmentalize and just say, well, Jesus, you know, this is my little God box. This is my own little personal time for devotion and whatever else. But that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is so much bigger than our conception of him. He's so much bigger than our understanding of him. And he's so much freer than what we would typically want him to be and to do. Because if we can keep him at a distance, then we can have our little religion thing and our little faith thing, and then we can also live the rest of our lives pretty much untouched. That's not what the Lord is about. And it's interesting in this gospel because they hear him and they're astonished. Who gave him this wisdom? Where did he learn this stuff? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? And they're so close to making the big move of real trust in the Lord, of real faith, and then they back away. And they get back into what they know. But don't we know him? Isn't he the son of the carpenter? Don't we know his relatives? And then they take offense, and it's really interesting, isn't it, to see how close they are to real faith, and then when they realize that real faith means radically changing everything, they back away. And they actually don't just back away, they take offense at him. And he can't do much then. Friends, I think it's good for us to pray about that, each one of us in our own lives. Are we ready to take the leap into who Jesus really is, to give him radical control of our lives? Not just to play a little game here where we get our God fix, but to give him radical control, to have real faith. Because real faith is risky. It means opening everything up, the good, the bad, the ugly, and trusting everything to Jesus. And it means, especially in this day and age, losing control of your life. giving it over to the Lord, entrusting him everything, including your future, your hopes, your plans. And sometimes what I see is people right on the verge, they're like, I could give everything, and then they back away. And then they don't just back away. See, that backing away is not just this like, well, I'm just gonna bide my time a little bit. No, that backing away is a turning away. Just like in the gospel, they take offense at the Lord. I've watched people do it. They're right on the cusp of entrusting themselves fully. They step back and maintain control, and then God becomes a threat to them. And it's crazy to watch. It's so sad to watch, because God is only on our side. All he wants is the absolute best for us. But in order for us to receive that gift, we have to risk in faith. We have to hand things over to him. We have to give our lives to him. And it'll never change. That will never change, friends. It will never change. It's the only way to follow Jesus. A few weeks ago, I quoted a line from one of my priest mentors, Father Christopher Hellstrom, down in Denver. Following Jesus from a safe distance is neither following him nor is it safe. Can't follow Jesus from a safe distance. You got to get right behind him. You got to risk. Let's do this. Let's amaze the Lord, not for our lack of faith. Let's amaze the Lord for the faith that we have, for the trust that we give him, for the way in which we risk for him. Even if it seems unreconcilable with the world, ununderstandable to the world, even if it seems like a waste, let's do that for him, because he certainly does it for us. He's all in on our side, all in. All you need to do to be reminded of that is look at a crucifix or look at the Eucharist. He is all in. Let's be all in for him. And may we amaze him for our faith, for our trust, for the way in which we give our lives and live our lives for him.